Praise God, and welcome to everyone who is joining us online tonight. We thank you for being a part of this 30 days of planting the heavens, powerful times in the presence of God. I pray that as you devote this season to Him, as you devote times that are so crucial and important to you, to Him, that He in turn will reward you, He will bless you, and He will plant the heavens in your life in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Whoever is the most blessed person online tonight, can you shout a living hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
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 I do that sometimes just to make sure that we are still awake after a long, busy day. How challenging it can be sometimes between the hour of 9 and 10 to stay awake. But the grace of God is more than sufficient, and I encourage you, if you start feeling sleepy, you feel tired in your body, just get up and walk around. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to go to our confession, our 2015 confession, and I'm going to ask that we read it together again like we always do. I know it may sound a little rowdy, but that's okay. We are reading it, and I'm sure in the realm of the Spirit, it is significant. So let's read together and recite our 2015 confession. 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven
and heaven is coming down.
I am seated upright in the heavenly
place.
The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon this earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. I am a child of God, righteousness is my joy, and
you
comfort
my life.
No
more
crying,
no more whining.
Good life,
death,
sorrow, stagnation, and abortion.
Every terminal verdict is hereby terminated.
terminated.
Jesus Christ,
amen.
1,150
I'm a seated of Christ in the heavenly place.
The Garden
of Eden
is my new reality.
Days of heaven upon the earth,
I
hear
to sing.
Days of laughter, singing, praising,
celebrating,
rejoicing,
and dancing to heaven.
Welcome heaven.
Welcome
Eden.
Amen.
Amen.
Beloved, I trust God that you have a strong expectation from God in this season. In Isaiah 58, the Bible describes the blessings of a fast. And I know that this is a very common piece of scripture, but it helps to read it again to remind ourselves of the promises that the Lord has made to us. Isaiah 58 from verse 6, he said, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke." That sounds to me like God wants to do a new thing in our lives. He said, "Is it not that you would deal your bread to the hungry, and that you will bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? Then," he said, "shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rare reward. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer you. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness will become as noonday." That sounds to me like planting the heavens. That sounds to me like Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 all over again. "And the Lord," verse 11, "shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a well-watered garden," the Garden of Eden, "and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And those that be of you will build the old waste places. You will raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words," nor speaking your own words. He said in verse 14, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I'll feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The order of God is so powerful and it is so important. When we take steps that the Lord instructs us to take in accordance with His will and His purpose, then we are walking in the order of God. And when you walk in the order of God, you provoke the power of God. Every time you walk in the order of God, you provoke the power of God. The order of God is what puts us in position for the new things of God. The order of God is what puts us in position for the things that God has promised to do in our lives. When we take steps that mirror the steps that God Himself has instructed, when we speak words that are in accordance with the words of God, when we order our lives according to the ordination of God, the Bible promises us here that our light will break forth as the morning. Our health will spring forth speedily. Our righteousness will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will become our rare reward. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And when we read in Genesis chapter 1 yesterday, we saw the order of God. We saw how God planted the heavens on the earth. We noticed how God was not haphazard. God is not a haphazard God, so you and I should not be. There is something extremely powerful about the order of God. And in every aspect of our lives, there is an order that mirrors the purpose of God for that area of our lives. When God created, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, He tells us, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice, the order of God. The heaven is always above the earth. There is something called first things first. The spirit always supersedes the flesh, the mind, the body. When we walk in accordance with the order of God, we provoke the power of God. God said, light be. And immediately there was light. So the first thing God created was illumination. Salvation and ongoing illumination of the human spirit, the human life. Notice, God created light first, before He created wealth. God created light first, before He created a place of abode. After God created light, the Bible tells us the next thing He created on day two was heaven, the firmament between the waters. So He calls waters, He says there are waters below and there are waters above. And God put a firmament in between. That is, there is a life beyond this life. There is something higher than where we dwell in. and the heavens always supersede the earth. He created that firmament, and that firmament, that heavenly firmament, represents the vision and the destiny of life. Notice, the heaven is always above us. So many times in the scriptures, the Bible will say, lift up your eyes. When God wants to draw people in the direction of his will, in the direction of his purpose, in the direction of his counsel, in the direction of his vision, in the direction of his destiny, many times he will say, lift up now your eyes. Notice the order of God, that the firmament called the heaven always points us up to the life that is above. Then God created on day three the earth, our physical domain, which I like to call the places and the seasons of life. He said he allotted seasons and fixed boundaries of habitations. And we call that the earth, our home base. Notice, he created the heaven before he created the earth. Then on day four, he came back and created other lights. That's different from the light he created, he spoke in day one when he said, light be. These other lights are supposed to be lights that represent the distinctives of life. He said he created great lights, one to rule in the day and the other to rule in the night. Then he also created what is called the stars. And as you and I know, the stars make us shine. The crowning glories of our life that help us rule and dominate in the bright and the dull seasons of life are the things called our stars. I like to call them the graces of life. Those are the things that make us a sign and a wonder upon the earth, makes us different, uniquely different from everybody else. Notice, the earth, the place of our abode, came before our stars were put in place. You remember in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 9 to 13, after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the wise men saw the star in the east. They saw the star in the east, and they journeyed and followed that star until they arrived at the abode of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the order of God, that the significance of our lives always come after our discovering our place in life. You cannot discover your crowning glory when you are dwelling in a land that is foreign to what God ordained for you. There are so many people upon the earth today that perpetually struggle with the blessing of God because they have not taken the time to discover their place. When you discover your place of abode, where God called you, the fixed boundary of your habitation, your home base, your own home base, where when you discover where God ordained for you to be, it opens up your life for the crowning glory of your life to shine forth. And notice on day five, God created life. He started to create life, animal life. But first, he created life in the water. Aquatic life first, before terrestrial life. There's a reason for that. You know the scriptures say, Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that thirst. And he says, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. The waters and the life in the water depict our spiritual life and our spiritual connection to God himself. Notice, that always comes before our terrestrial experience. After he created aquatic life, then he created vocational life, natural life. He created this animal and then said, let's make man in our image and let him exercise dominion. Then he created things like wealth and things like vocation and education and training and things like that, things that pertain to the physical life. Notice, God made all of these, including the Garden of Eden, before he made a man. God, if he was a human being, will not bring a baby into the world before figuring out how to take care of the baby. That's not how he works. He's a God of order. And finally, after he created the garden, and after he created man that represented posterity, the future, and the culmination of all of his work and his worth, notice that's why he said, let's make man in our own image and let them do what we can do. So the final thing God did was he took care of posterity and he took care of the culmination of all of his work and his worth. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Beloved, order is extremely powerful and important to God. And any area of our lives where we miss the order of God, we create a disjoint. Whenever there is a disjoint, things cannot flow the way they were ordained to flow. If you take a part that is meant for the leg and put it in the hand, you create a disjoint. When there is a disjoint, no matter how long the fast, no matter how long and deep the prayer, you have aborted the flow. Order is extremely powerful to God. I want you to look for a moment at the 133rd Psalm, Psalm 133. Take a look at that for one quick moment here. Psalm 133. Look at what it says. Order is extremely important to God. When you walk in the order of God, you provoke the power of God. God is never haphazard, so you should not be. God doesn't just respond to emergencies and try to do things based on emergencies that show up. Sometimes, even when emergencies show up, God still follows his order. You remember when Lazarus was sick and his sister sent a message to Jesus in John chapter 11. And the Bible says Jesus went a different direction rather than go to where Lazarus was, even though they said to him it was an emergency. Why? Because God is a God of order. And when you walk in the order of God, you provoke the power of God. In the order of God, things flow from one level to the next. In the order of God, illumination is first before vocation. You can't be focused praying about vocation when you lack illumination. You can't be focused praying for the crowning glories of life when you have not discovered your place. A blind man has no reason to be praying for a wife. A blind man has one need, and that need is that he might see. Notice in Psalm 133, the order of God. He said, behold, from verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Notice, in unity means there is nothing out of joint. There is nothing out of place. Sometimes the breakthrough that somebody is praying for actually lies in just rearranging their lives to line up with the order of God. Sometimes the long night of prayer and long day of fasting and the long week and the long month of crying and looking for God just simply can be addressed by discovering the order of God and putting things back in their place. You will find that as we go along in subsequent days. But discovering the order of God, the Bible says here how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Nothing out of place, nothing out of joint. That is, one thing is lined up after the other exactly the way they should be. That is, when you wake up in the morning, good morning must be to God first. The first good morning must not be to your boss or to your spouse. The first good morning must be to God, and then to yourself, and then to the people around you, and then to the people you work with. When we observe the order of God and things line up in our lives and one thing flows after the other, we provoke the power of God. When we come into alignment, that is a very significant word, alignment. You drive a car that has no alignment or the alignment is bad. You know, one of the characteristics of that car is the steering wheel is facing one direction, but the car is going in a different direction. Some of you may even have seen cars. Those ones are very bad. I've seen a lot of those cars before. I haven't seen too many of them around here lately. But that's when the alignment is so bad, the car actually looks like it's bent on the road. It's driving on a straight road, but you can actually see the head of the car is facing a different direction, but it's going straight on that road. The alignment is so bad that the car is twisted. When we lose the alignment of God for our lives, things twist around. Things are broken. Things don't work. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Notice, the anointing always flows from the head. Notice, the anointing, the refreshing of God always flows from the top. When your spiritual life comes before every other aspect of your life, then when God pours the anointing can flow. When other things come first, when God pours the anointing is already disrupted. It cannot flow anywhere. Just by rearranging your life. Notice, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I know it has to be one of the favorite scriptures for many of us, but what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what would happen? All other things will be added to you. That means, beloved, I know we are going through a Daniel fast, 21-day Daniel fast, but God doesn't operate only within 21 days. So it is no use to rearrange your life for these 21 days and put things where they should be throughout these 21 days. And as soon as February comes, you hit the reset button and you go right back to the way you used to be in December last year. God is not restricted to working within 21 days. God is a God of continuity. It says here, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the head, that ran down upon the head, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. Notice, It began from the head, it ran down to his beard, and then it went down to the skirts of the garment. The anointing flows through order. When you walk in the order of God, you provoke the power of God. There is a line in our confession that says, and actually for a moment, just want everybody to say that line together. You know that line? It says, what does it say? That line about order. My due season of harvest is here, right?
Yes.
I am walking in God's due order. Do you see how both of those are connected? My due season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's due order. You can't walk in due season of harvest if you are not walking in God's due order. Everybody take that line of that confession with me. Say it together, everybody. My due season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's due order. God's due order is head, beard, neck, shoulder, skirt, and all the way down. That is, in our lives, what God called head has got to be head. So, heaven has to be before earth. We must pursue the things of spiritual and eternal significance before we put our energy into the things of our own natural life. There is nothing wrong with pursuing our vocation. There is nothing wrong with doing the things that we are called to do. But recognize, God must always be first. The things of the heavenlies must always, not only within the 21-day Daniel fast, not only within the 30 days of planting the heavens, but long after this season is over, the things of God must always come first. Beloved, don't use 95% of your energy pursuing the things of your natural life, and then you are so tired that all you have left for the things of God is maybe 2% of your energy. That is out of order. When something is out of order, when they label something, recently I walked through one of the bathrooms in the church, in our church, I think one of the children's bathrooms, and somebody had put a tape there and a piece of paper. They said, out of order, do not use. When you describe something as out of order, it means it is broken. When our lives get out of alignment and get out of God's order, it means we limit God and we limit what he wants to do. My prayer for you tonight is that everything about your life and my life will begin to respond to the order of God. Beloved, there is an order of God for everything in your life. Whether it is your spiritual life, or your marital life, or your career life, or your education life, or your family life, or your ministry life, there is an order of God for everything about our lives. You know, one of the reasons our children are so broken, and our children are so hurt, and our children are so derailed and so misdirected in our generation is because we fail in teaching them the order of God. Most children today don't recognize what is order. They don't understand the order of God. Most children haven't learned what is most important. What is the first thing? First thing first. You know, Jesus asked people, and he described some things as one thing. He says, I think he said about Mary, I believe, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 42. He said, one thing is important, and Mary has chosen that one thing, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, beloved, when the order of God is observed in your life, everything else remains intact. Everything remains intact. Nothing God gives you can be taken away from you. When the order of God is in place, and the most important thing is the most important thing, your leg cannot be broken. Your health cannot be taken away. Your money cannot be stolen away from you. Your important relationships cannot be destroyed. Your dreams cannot be aborted. When the most important thing about your life occupies the most important place, not only for 21 days of the Daniel fast, but right through the year, when you maintain the order of God, there is the place for studying your word, the word of God. There is the place for praying. There is the place for fellowshipping with other believers in a godly living church. There is a place for serving God in some ministry or the other. There is a place for order in the different areas, in your finances, in your relationship, in your every area of your life. Well, you provoke the power of God to walk in those areas. When the order of God for you is seeking God first, when it comes to whether it's the most important things of your life or the not so important things of your life, when the most important thing is seeking the will of God first and seeking to do what pleases God first, beloved, then you mandate God to be able to walk in your life. I pray that the order of God will become the most prevalent thing about your life in this season. That anything that has been out of joint will come back into their rightful place. That things that should be number five will not be number one. Things that should be number one will not be number 10. That God will give us the wisdom, the supernatural ability to rearrange and to reorder our lives. That if, for instance, you are raising children, you don't put the raising of those children last. That's not the last thing. You don't do everything else, and then you are so tired at the end of the day that you can't raise those children. Notice, God created the garden before he created the man. Put him in the garden, and everything that he needed was provided. That means if you go through the different specifics of your life, you can point to every aspect and say, yes, there is order there. Yes, there is order there. Yes, there is order here. Yes, there is order here. It's all lined up according to the will and to the purpose of God. I pray that the grace of God to reorder, realign, will be more than sufficient for you in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I trust God that you have received something tonight and you have something to work with over the next few hours before we get together again. I call you blessed. I thank you again for joining us tonight on our day four. I'm so excitedly looking for day five. If you have been blessed, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a blessed night. We'll see you tomorrow.